Feel Live. Made in Sheffield, made by you.
Do you like Sheffield Live? Why not become a friend of Sheffield Live? Sheffield Live is a community radio station, and friends of Sheffield Live are people in the community who make a regular donation to keep Sheffield Live on the air. Join the Friends of Sheffield Live by writing to friends@sheffieldlive.org or go online to sheffieldlive.org/friends.
Hello, good evening. Here we are again. It's another Wednesday night live in Sheffield in the Sheffield Live studios, and it's Deserted Island Dis. So Deserted Island Dis is the programme where we get people who are connected with Ireland to come into the show and talk about their life through music. And I'm very lucky this week. Yesterday was my birthday. I was 55 years old. And my guest, what were you doing 55 years ago today?
Ooh, or yesterday? I was looking at this gorgeous little boy in a cot who'd just been born.
So, yes, I'm very lucky. It's my mother. My mother's come on the show tonight. So, hello, Sheila.
Hello, Ben. How dare you call me Sheila?
I'm a bit worried tonight, is it? I'm going to get told off quite a lot, I think. But I'm in charge for once, possibly. We'll see how it goes. No, it's great. I've been asking you to come on the show for nearly a year, haven't I? And you've always kind of resisted. You've been shy and stuff. So thankfully, for my birthday, you've agreed to come on the show. So I'm looking forward to it.
Just for you, Ben, yeah.
Thank you. We've got an hour to talk through your life and... musical things that have kind of meant a lot to you. So let's start at the beginning, eh, Mum? So you were born, I know this, 1948, 28th of June, 1948.
Oh, yeah. There's an interesting story about that, really, because one of my sisters, Eileen, she's into astrology, and she said to me, if you can find out exactly when you were born, I can tell you, you know, your future...
And
stars and everything.
Yeah, it's important, isn't it? Yeah.
So I thought, well, not much chance because there were 10 of us in our family.
Yeah.
So I thought, we'll have a go. So I said to Mum, Mum, can you remember when I was born? So she went, let me think now. She's very Irish, Mum. So she said, let me think. Oh, yes, I remember now. It was in the afternoon. Bear in mind, it was a week after Midsummer's Day.
Yeah, it's
so it's
day.
Still light till, I don't know, 11 o'clock at night.
11 o'clock, yeah.
So I said, all right. So she said, oh, wait a minute now, I remember now. Mrs. Chelfant was there. That was one of the really lovely neighbours that we had. And she said, oh, yes. She said, I remember as well, I had to pay for you because it was the week before National Health came in. So she said, she said, and Mrs. Chelfant said, oh, what a shame, it's another girl.
Oh, yeah.
So I had a good start in life, really.
Yeah, yes.
But, you know, like Irish mothers don't really give you compliments, do they? But anyway, I did see the funny side.
Yeah, no, well, good job, isn't it? Well, you.
I know.
So that's strange. So basically you're saying is that before 1948, wasn't it, Well, halfway through the year, obviously, people had to pay the midwife and...
They did. Everyone moans about National Health now, but I know it's got its problems, and more so more recently, but without it, where would we be?
It's,
you know, obviously had to pay for the midwife. People just did not go to a doctor because they couldn't afford to.
Yeah. So you was actually born... Was you born at home?
Oh, at home, yeah.
Not in a hospital, yeah.
At home in a prefab that was built just after the war. Before that, Mum and Dad were in digs, what they used to call digs. And they were lucky enough to get this prefab.
A council house.
And it was built within the park, within Heaton Park, which is a big sprawling park in Manchester.
You said it was built by... Who built it?
The German prisoner of war.
So they had a prisoner of war camp in Heaton Park in the...
Well, I don't know where they were based, right. But they did come and they were doing the roads and things like that.
And they built these... Go on, what's a prefab for people that don't
Well,
know?
Obviously it's a prefabricated building that would come in sections. Really, I suppose if they had that now, it might solve a few of the housing problems, but, you know, that's a bit political.
So would you stick it together like Lego and...
a bit like Lego, but they were great. They... You know, they had the gardens and we were in the park.
Yeah.
So, you know, that was our garden.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
And so, just going back then, so you were saying, oh, it's another girl. So what was, you're the third eldest, aren't you?
Yeah.
And the third girl.
I would say it's third time lucky, but they wouldn't. No, but straight after me was my brother John, who's actually been here.
He's been
here
on the show as well, yeah.
So, yeah, he took the show from me, you know.
Yeah, well, he paved the way.
He paved the way, yeah.
Very well, very well. So, well, let's talk about your mum and dad. So, go on, tell us about them.
Well, they actually met on the boat coming over from Ireland. That was during the wartime. And Dad was going to RAF station at Southport.
Yeah.
And Mum was going to her brother's in Preston. And Dad must have had an eye for the pretty girls, because she was.
Yeah.
She was more than a pretty girl. She was intelligent, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, he said to her, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to Preston." He went, "Oh, I'm going to Preston as well." He told me this when he said to me, "How old are you now?" And I said, "I'm nearly 40, Dad." "Oh, I suppose I could tell you this now then," he said. I thought, what on earth is he going to tell me?
Yeah.
And he was just telling me that he told a fib, that he said he was going to Preston as well.
And he followed her to Preston.
And he followed her to Preston, yeah.
Bit stalkerish, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, no.
Worked out in the end.
So, yeah, well, it did work out in the end, because he had all those children.
So how many? Go on.
10. He himself had a very hard life. He was from Dublin. He ended up in an orphanage twice in his life because of it. Obviously, there was no help then if his father died. The mother couldn't keep them all. So he had a very hard life. And that's why it's amazing that he had 10 children and he had about at least 3 jobs on the go
at once,
the time.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very, very hard working man. And Mum was too. She later on went back to nursing. She was a nurse.
Yeah.
She was based in London for a time during the war. And she tells a story about how when the air raids came, she was running to the shelters in London.
Yeah.
And
Blake,
they said, "No, it's closed. There's no room." So they had to run somewhere else.
So they go down to the tube stations, weren't
they? That's right.
Yeah.
They said that it was full. So they ran off to another place, wherever they could shelter. In London, as everyone knows, it was bombed to bits. And the following morning, the place that she couldn't get in was bombed out.
Well,
she was always very fatalistic. She always says, "If your number's on it, your number's on it." And that's the way they lived.
So tell us what part of Ireland your mum's from.
Oh, Mum's from Achill Island. I'm sure the listeners would have heard
County
about
Mayo.
Achill Island, County Mayo, yeah.
And on the west coast of Ireland, yes.
Right, to the west coast. And we've been there many times as children. We used to go. And her parents had, you'd call it a subsistence farm, really. Like a few cows, and they grew the vegetables and...
Yeah.
Not a lot of money changed hands, but people swapped things for
bartering.
For different things. You know, like they'd have eggs and so on. And we would go and bring the hay in.
Right, yeah.
Ask, you know, we'd come over. And it was a massive expedition, because they used to pack a big trunk of clothes and send them on ahead of us.
Okay.
And on the boat. And then we'd get on the boat. And it took hours and hours and hours to get to Mayo.
Well, it's right across the country. And I suppose back then the roads would be not great.
No, they didn't have the main roads, obviously. Little roads. One year, myself and Mary, my sister and John, we were sent to Ireland. And I was only 10.
Yeah.
And never thought anything of it. They just, someone who met us off the boat.
Yeah.
And put us on a train and then a coach. And just, that's the way it was in those days.
So the oldest of you would be 11. So you'd be like 11, 10 and 9.
Yeah.
off you go then.
Off we go, yeah.
And there's no mobile phones.
And John was climbing up the railings and we're shouting at him as though we were all women. Get down, get down.
Everybody's looking after him. But he's not changed, has he?
No. But yeah, I mean, it was great, really. You know, we had lots of freedom.
So you'd go there for the summer, like, you'd have like 6 weeks holidays.
Yeah. And then they'd send us back, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, and then when we all went as a family, I don't know how Mum and Dad did it, really, because, you know...
Taking 10 of you or whatever, yeah.
It was brilliant. But now, Achill Island is a very different place. It's very touristy.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful spot.
It is a beautiful spot, that wild Atlantic coast.
Yeah, but for you, it was just normal. Well...
But that's a shame that it's such a beautiful place that the people like Mum and Dad had to leave the place to get work.
Work and something, yeah. It's a common story, isn't it? Back to them, most people, We better play a song. So part of the show is that we try and play some songs that mean a lot to you in your life. So you've picked Emigrant's Eyes by Foster and Allen. Just say why you picked that?
Oh, Mum loved Foster and Allen. They were one of her favourites. And when it was playing on the stereo at home, that was like a great big glass case stereo. Everything seemed happy and all was well with the world when you played. And, you know... But the words to this, it is like they were all emigrants, really. And Dad in particular worked so hard. I just think it's a lovely song.
Fits well. All right. Emigrant Size by Foster and Allen.
Old Ellis Island was swarming, like a scene from a costume ball, decked out in the colours of Europe and on fire with the hope of it all. There my father's own father stood hooded with the tired and the hungry and scared. Turn of the century pilgrims, bound by the dream that they shared. They were standing in lines just like cattle, poked and sorted and shoved. Some were one deck away from sweet freedom, some torn from someone they loved. Through the sprawling Tower of Babel came a young man confused and alone, determined and bound for America, carrying everything that he owned. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's emigrant eyes, I see that day reflected, I can't hold my tears inside. I see starting with nothing and working hard all of his life. So don't take it for granted, say grandfather's emigrant eyes. Now he rocks and he stares out the window, but his eyes are still just as clear as the day he sailed through the harbor, came ashore on the island of tears. Now my grandfather's days are numbered, but I won't let his memory die. He gave me the gift of his country and the look in his emigrant eyes. Sometimes when I look in my grandfather's emigrant eyes, I see that day reflected, I can't hold my tears inside. I see starting with nothing and working hard all of his life. So don't take it for granted. Say grandfather's emigrant eyes. So don't take it for granted. Say grandfather's emigrant eyes.
It's Emigrant's Eyes there, Foster and Allen. So that'll be playing around your house when you were a kid. So it's my guest, Sheila, mother, is on tonight. So, yeah, you were one of 10 growing up in Manchester, North Manchester, yeah? And you were playing that music, a lot of music going on. Is that right?
Yeah. Dad was more into his classical music.
He
loved all the classics, you know, and he had loads of albums of all Beethoven, Mozart.
He just... But there'd be a mix, wouldn't it, as well? So the Irish music could be playing as well.
Yeah, he used to sing as well when he used to go to the club.
Yes.
One of his jobs was waiting on in the Catholic club.
Yeah.
And it did say to him, "Are you getting up, John?" That was John Senior.
Yeah.
And he'd sing Moonlight in Mayo. He had a lovely voice.
Wild Colonial Boy.
Mum used to sing Wild Colonial Boy, but she only knew about 4 lines, and then she'd repeat them.
That's a proper singer.
Yeah.
So let's talk about you growing up. So basically, how would you describe, so you moved to Blakely, another council house. How would you describe Blakely to the Sheffield public?
Well, Blakely was a huge council estate, and it kept adding bits and bits onto it. But when we first arrived there, I was only 3, it was farmland.
Yeah.
And the cows would wander up into the garden.
Because it's only like, it's about 3.5 miles, 4 miles outside the centre of Manchester.
City centre,
So it's quite close, you know. Like,
yeah.
For Sheffield people, I always compare it to a place called Southey or Parsons Cross, but it's actually kind of that, like council estate, but like the Blakely's actually nearer the town centre than those places are, really. But yeah, it's.
It was rural when we arrived. Obviously, they must have developed the land for housing that needed post-war time, really.
Yeah, we kept going.
So
it was a new. So you were the first people to move into these houses?
Oh, yeah, they
so
were
you,
brand new.
Yeah.
They were brand new. And I still recollect walking down that grove and seeing the house, and they're saying, "This is where we're going to live."
Yeah.
Oh, it was so exciting, you
know?
And everybody knew all the neighbours.
So because everyone moved in at the same time, I suppose,
Because it was a brand new estate, really. Everybody moved in together. And they were a very close community.
Yeah. But there weren't many Irish in that.
A lot of Irish seemed to move to Longside and Rusholme, the other
Manchester,
side of town.
Yeah. But you'd go to Catholic school and Catholic church, and was the Irish people in that in the church and the school there?
Oh quite a lot of Irish families descendants,
the second
Irish.
Generation, whatever.
So
you, but you, I was trying to get a sense of kind of how Irish you felt growing up.
Well, we went to Irish dancing a lot,
you
know, and I actually got some medals for that. I think they've gone rusty now, but. We did things like that, and a lot of the parents of the children in my class were Irish.
Yeah.
So you know there was all of that, but you know.
You taught by nuns and
that was later on when we went to grammar schools. Because they still had the 11 plus in those days.
So you did well at junior school.
Yeah,
so
we did very well.
St. Clair's Junior School.
Yeah.
And then you did 11 plus.
Yeah.
And, go on.
Well, it was a massive school, St. Clair's, really. Many of them, you know, they had a good record for people passing the 11 plus. So that was a convent grammar school, so, of course, it was just all girls.
Yeah, okay. So then you went to secondary school? Notre Dame, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So that was quite far from home, though, wasn't it? It was a bus.
Took the same on the bus.
Right. Would it be half an hour, would it, on the bus?
Oh, yes. It's probably, I think it was just less than 3 miles.
Yeah. But it's across town, what, Cheetah Millway?
Yeah.
So you did well there?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's good for the family, I suppose, wasn't it? To see you and Mary, I suppose, with
and Eileen.
And Eileen, yeah.
Well, went to Notre Dame, yeah.
Yeah. And then I suppose after school, you'd still be part of that community, and you'd, well, talk about you kind of where you did bits of singing, didn't you? Were you doing singing at that young age?
Oh,
or
no.
Like teenage, 16, 17? And...
Yeah, when we went to, it's probably a little bit older actually, because they were always on licensed premises.
Oh, right, so restricted. You couldn't go in. You must have got in the, like, the church club, did you go?
Oh, yeah, the
same place. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's where we first met Christy Moore. Christy Moore came into the... used to come to St Clair's Club.
Right.
He'd come off the boat and straight to there. You know, and we didn't know how good he was going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
He just used to get up and sing. I was like, oh, he's a bit good.
Yeah. And you'd chat to him after and that, yeah?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
He's...
took me for a curry once.
Yeah. He likes his curry.
Only don't tell anyone.
No, okay. No one's listening. So, and it was Mike Harding as well, was it? He part of all that?
Mike didn't come to that one, but he was part of that scene.
Yeah, yeah.
He had a few clubs around Manchester, but particularly in Blakely. They used to let us get up and sing.
Yes.
So we could get in free, you see.
That's right.
We didn't have to pay if you were singers. But you say, right, thanks, bye.
Yeah. Well, you got a mention in Christy's autobiography, didn't you? The Grey Sisters.
That's right.
Yeah, sorry. Name check here is...
Yeah, myself and Mary used to get up.
Yes. So I'm going to ask you to do a song, if that's okay. I know you don't usually do this, but my mum was... soundtrack to my childhood was you singing and playing guitar... lots and lots, so you've kindly agreed to do a song live in the studio. Yeah, so you usually have a guitar, but we haven't got a guitar today, are you? Because you play the ukulele more now, don't you?
Yeah, that's right.
So go on, wait.
I'll do this one. This is used to sing this whenever we got chance or somebody asked us to sing. This is... Right, I'll just sing it. In Dublin City, where I did dwell, lived a butcher boy, I knew him well. He courted me my life away, and now with me he will not stay. I wish, but I wish in vain. I wish I was a child again. Sorry.
It's all right. You can tell it's live, can't you? Yes. At least we're live here. Yeah. Come on. Right.
She went upstairs to go to bed, and calling to her mama said, "Give me a chair till I sit down, and a pen and ink till I write down." At every word she dropped a tear, at every line cried, "Willie dear, oh, what a foolish girl was I to be led astray by a butcher boy." He went upstairs and the door he broke, and found her hanging from a rope. He took his knife and he cut her down, and in her pocket these words he found: "Go dig my grave long, wide and deep. Put a marble stone at my head and feet, and in the middle a turtle dove, so the world will know I died for love."
Beautiful. Lovely, that one. Well done. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ben.
No, it's gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. No, and we should say you won prizes at singing, didn't you? Tell us the story of you being in Ireland.
Oh yeah, well, we as an adult we went to Ireland a few times, actually with your dad, and they had the singing competitions in those days in the local pub, and I had the cheek to borrow somebody's guitar and said, "Can I borrow that?" And I sang 3 score and 10.
This is an English folk song, isn't it? But it's a lovely
It's all about this side of the
Grimsby,
Scarborough Town, and so on.
Yeah,
and won. And
you won the competition.
Won the competition. I don't know whether it's because some realities were in the audience. I don't know. But I won the competition and won £3. And would you believe? That meant we could stay in Ireland for another week.
Fantastic. Yeah, right.
£3.
Well, that's it. Well, you'll be staying with family and stuff. But it's enough beer money.
Yeah, it was beer and fags in those days.
Yeah, which you don't do.
I don't do anymore.
Don't do anymore. Pretty good. Oh, no. You saved it for when we were in the car, didn't you? When the kids were in the car. In the 70s and 80s.
Oh, you're so mad. Yeah.
No, so, we're nearly halfway through the show and we've got lots to talk about. But kind of jumping to the end, when you're in your career, you was absolutely well-renowned and a marvellous school teacher, head teacher, in a city in Manchester. So it's not like, you were kind of not, you know, singing and was obviously a hobby and still is a hobby. But you'd kind of, you'd done it well enough to, be on stage to start with, which is, not a mean feat in itself, is it?
No. Yeah, that was my career teaching. I did love it, actually. I did love the how you get on with the communication with the children.
Yeah.
But I was lucky enough to, when I became a head teacher, to have a really good team around me.
Yeah.
They were all young, talented teachers, and they worked hard and played hard together. They were a good team.
Yeah.
In fact, one of them went to your college, didn't she?
Yeah, Mel was...
Melanie, yeah. And so each time Ofsted came, we got outstanding.
Which is amazing for that, because it was... You know, proper in Moston, isn't it?
Inner city school.
Yeah, and they're good, great people, but also a lot of deprivation and challenges for that.
Absolutely.
For those people,
but that was, one of my things that, poverty's not any excuse to say they can't do well at school.
Yeah, and
they did do well. And we had some laughs with the children. You can't do that job and not have a sense of humour, can you? I mean, one of them, remembered being on duty, in the dining hall. Used to go in there. It was more informal for the children, get to know them and so on. And, they'd be telling tales on each other, which as children do.
Yeah.
And then one time this boy was nearly dancing, trying to tell me something. I said, what is it? He said, "Mark's just pumped on purpose." So, I said, oh, my goodness, I had to run out. So,
you couldn't laugh in front of them?
Oh, you couldn't laugh in front of them, no, could you?
Couldn't laugh at them.
Well, if I hear that, I'll do blah, 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 blah. You know.
Pumped on purpose.
Yeah, they are funny.
We just said, going to the pub. We're not breaking confidentiality, are you? Make it anonymous. But it was the lad who says, I've had enough of this.
I'm sick of this. I'm off to the pub.
Sorry, when he's getting told off, obviously, in the teacher's office.
Exactly.
And how old was he?
Yeah, 8, I think he was.
He heard his dad say it.
Off to the pub. No, I mean, they were lovely. The children were all, that's where you got really the reward to see them getting on,
Yeah.
On a serious note.
But, we better play a song. Well, the related song is The Obvious Child. So it sounds very
good. This one, when I was actually teaching, you had to teach every subject, as you know, in primary. And for the dance lessons, this is the song that I used to have for the warm-up. I mean, they challenged the children, they had to crouch on the floor and jump up to the where they had the loud beats of the the drums. And Paul Simon, I like Paul Simon anyway. I went to see him live a couple of times. But yeah, so they always ended up laughing because they'd always get it wrong. Try it yourself.
So you jump when the drum beats? Yeah.
When the drum beats very loud, you've got to jump up.
Right, I'll do it. I'll do it, yeah. Okay. The Obvious Child, Paul Simon.
I don't expect to be treated like a fool no more. I don't expect to sleep through the night. Some people say a lie, it's a lie, it's a lie. But I say why? Why deny the obvious child? Why deny the obvious child? And then remembering a road sign, I'm remembering a girl when I was young. And we said these songs are true, these days are ours, these tears are free. The cross is in the ballpark, and the cross is in the ballpark. Had a lot of fun, had a lot of money. We had a little son we thought we'd call him Sonny. Sonny gets married and moves away. Sonny has a baby and bills to pay. Sonny gets sunnier day by day, by day, by day. Sunrise. I've been following the light across my room. I watch the night receive the moon of my day. Some people say the sky is just the sky, but I say, why deny the obvious child? Why deny the obvious child? Sits by his window and thinks to himself, how it's strange that some rooms are like cages. Sonny's yearbook from high school is down from the shelf, and he idly thumbs through the pages. Some have died, some have fled from themselves, or struggled from here to get there. Sonny wanders beyond his interior walls, runs his hands through his thinning brown hair. Well, I'm accustomed to a smoother ride, or maybe I'm a dog who's lost its pride. I don't expect to be treated like a fool no more. I don't expect to sleep the night. Some people say a lie is just a lie, but I say the cross is in the ballpark. Why deny the obvious, child?
Obvious Child, Paul Simon. So that's the choice of my guest, Sheila. Mother. I couldn't call you Sheila tonight.
Yes, I'll let you.
Good.
Just this once.
It was weird growing up with head teachers and mother, though, because you'd have kind of two personalities, I think. Was that fair to say? That you'd have, like, a lovely mother, but also if you were getting told off, you were getting told off. You knew you were getting told off. You had a good teacher's voice, didn't you? I think many people have heard that teacher's voice.
Oh, yeah, well, when growing up, because there was, as I mentioned before, there were 10 of us, and we were all in the same house for a time until the eldest one, Veronica, who I have to say has not been very well, so I'm just hoping she's getting
sending love to Veronica,
better.
Yes,
we're sending love, Veronica, if you're listening. I hope she's out of hospital now. So, yeah, she was the oldest, so they all sort of aspired to... Veronica went to work. She was very sophisticated.
Yeah, so you're growing up... I mean, you're growing up, I suppose, in the 50s and 60s, wasn't it? She should be that kind of music and style would start coming.
Oh, that was Elvis, and that was her era. So we're really like five and five. We used to... The eldest five used to call the other five the kids.
Yeah, yeah.
They were the kids.
Because you were looking after them, really, after a bit.
Mum went back to work as a nurse after she'd had all these children.
Yeah.
And she used to say to me, can you take the kids to bed?
Yeah.
So I'd say, I'd take them all up, the five of them.
Yeah.
And I used to tell them some really scary stories, so much so. And I used to pretend I wasn't really Sheila.
Yeah.
I used to say, I may look like Sheila. I may even sound like her, but I'm not. And they go, oh, please, please.
Yeah, I think they're still scared now, aren't they?
When they think of it. Yeah. And I'd go downstairs and Mum would say, Sheila's the best at taking them. They never come back downstairs. And they still remember it. But, yeah. but we had fun times, and I'm so glad there's so many of us.
Yeah.
For me, it was normality. And now, as grown-ups, it's great because, you know, you've got so many people you can talk to, get in touch with.
Yeah, it's with, well, WhatsApp and communication now and stuff.
They've got much better.
Yeah.
And
because they spread out, aren't they, all...
Yes.
Around the world and around Europe.
Yeah, there's one in Belgium, one in Germany, one in Spain.
Currently, yeah, they've been, yeah.
Yeah, and Brendan used to be in Spain, but he's currently in England. But they spread out like that.
Some good holidays.
Yes.
But what we're going back, so your mum was quite a trickster, though, as well. You're talking about playing tricks, but she played tricks on the patients and stuff.
I don't know how she got away with it. She would put plastic spiders in the patients' beds and things like that.
And giggle away.
And then, yeah, and then she worked in quite a small hospital. It only had four wards in Manchester.
Yeah.
And she used to put a sheet over her head and walk down the ward at night, and it was in the men's ward, and they daren't, like, be soft, you know. She'd go, ooh! She was beyond nights. She was. She loved playing tricks, and then the shoulders would shake her head when she was telling them.
I think you've got some of that, haven't you?
Yeah. So, you know, so... When I look back now and I think, how on earth did they do it, Mum and Dad?
Yeah.
As I mentioned before, Dad had at least three jobs going.
Yeah.
And he was a draftsman, a pattern maker for AV Row, which is quite a skilled job.
Yeah.
And
he was in the RAF as a...
He's in the RAF as a ground at Southport, crew. Yeah. People forget that the Irish...
Yeah, we're in the war.
Actually, played their part in the war.
Yeah.
But, you know, when I think...
Sorry, go on.
No, I think how the dress... Mum used to make us dresses on the sewing machine and, you know, they never, ever claim benefits, anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
I just wonder how they did it.
Yeah, well, was it quite normal, like, for you then? Because have you not known any difference?
I never felt poorer than anyone else.
Yeah.
In fact, we were quite enriched with the culture side of it, because we'd go to Irish dancing, go to mass. I know it's, you know...
So you're part of a community, well, two communities, really, aren't you? Because you had the neighbours and...
And I just never felt any different from, you know, other neighbours. I mean, they were quite simple times in a way, but you had to work very hard.
Yeah, yeah. And did you have time for the playing now? I suppose it's kind of...
Yeah, we used to, you know, because we lived in a grove, like a cul-de-sac. All the children would come out, play round us, Varlevo, all those street games, you know, skipping huge skipping ropes and things like that.
So let's move on. We're running out of time. I'm going to move on to let's move on to me.
Move on to you, Ben.
I arrived. So I suppose you met my dad at when you were at teacher training college, and he was at teacher training college, didn't you? So you'd be like 19, 20,
18
when you met him, yeah. And what age were you when you had me then? You'd be 22. So quite young. Well, I mean, it feels quite young in these day and age. Was it still young then, I suppose?
It was pretty normal in those days. Yeah. It seems young now, and you think Ruben's that age.
Your grandson, yeah.
grandson, yeah. Your son.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it was pretty normal that people seemed to get engaged at 18, married at 21, children 22. You know, that was kind of the...
That's how it was. And you'd started working as a teacher when you had me?
Yes.
Yeah, so you'd have maternity.
That's right. But you only had 6 weeks maternity. You didn't have a lot long.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah. And then...
You shipped me off to fake anti-calf.
Yeah, you had to be. Yeah,
but childminders.
But the good thing
childminder who was basically just a friend of the family, wasn't she?
That's Kath, right.
Not just a friend. She's.
But yeah, the good thing was we got all the big holidays as a teacher. So you know, as everybody thinks, you don't do anything in that 6 weeks. But anyway, that's that. But
you got a house. You were able to buy a house eventually, weren't you? So when I was born, you were in rented accommodation, but you bought a house back in Blakely, didn't you? Not far from where your
never really moved from the near
still
square
live there
mile.
Now,
but you know, it does me all right. That's fine. But you're always a clever little boy, Ben, I have to say.
Oh, stop it!
Yeah, no. What about the chess? The chess.
It's not about me.
It is. Ben was a chess under-9s champion.
Shut up, mother.
At Manchester. And then the under-11s.
So I'm changing the subject. And then... But growing up in that house, because your next choice is John Denver. So tell us why you picked that and
it's just such a happy song. We used to... Well, when you were little, my friends used to come round to the house because, you know, you didn't really have babysitters.
So you couldn't go out.
Come round on a Monday night, and they used to say...
Of Carling Back Label.
Heineken. And they'd say, other things are available.
Yeah.
They'd say, put our John on, and it would be John Denver.
John Denver, yeah.
Grandma's Feather Bed.
So this is one of the albums you had there. So John Denver.
You only had about 3 records. This was one of them.
Grandma's Feather Bed.
When I was a little bitty boy, just up off of the floor, we used to go down to Grandma's house every month in the store. We'd have chicken pie and country ham and homemade butter on the bread. But the best darn thing about Grandma's house was a great big feather bed. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 bees, took a whole bowl of cloth for a tick. It'd hold 8 kids and 4 hound dogs and a piggy we stole from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. After supper, we'd sit around the fire, the old folks would spit and chew. Pa would talk about the farm and the war, and Granny'd sing a ballad or two. And I'd sit and listen and watch the fire till the cobwebs filled my head. Next thing I'd know, I'd wake up in the morning in the middle of the old feather bed. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 geese, took a whole wolf apart for a tick. They'd hold 8 kids and 4 hound dogs and a piggy we'd stole from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. Well, I love my ma, I love my pa, I love Granny and Grandpa too. I've been fishing with my uncle, I wrestled with my cousin, I even kissed Aunt Lou. Ooh, but if I ever had to make a choice, I guess it ought to be said. But I'd trade them all, plus a gal down the road for Grandma's feather bed. I trade them all plus a gal down the road. Well, I best get a gal down the road. It was 9 feet high and 6 feet wide, soft as a downy chick. It was made from the feathers of 411 geese, took a whole bolt of cloth for to take. And it hold 8 kids, 4 hound dogs, and a piggy wheat stone from the shed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed. We didn't get much sleep, but we had a lot of fun on Grandma's feather bed.
Hey, Grandma's feather bed. Here we are, live on Sheffield Live. Deserted Island Discs. It's the show where every week we have a guest on that talks about their life, their relationship with Ireland. And tonight I've got Sheila. My mother's come on. She's agreed to come on for my birthday, which was yesterday. But let's talk about Sheffield, actually. So we've talked a lot about Manchester, talked about a lot about Ireland. So I first moved to South Yorkshire in 2001, and then I had children who grew up around here. And you'd come over regularly, wouldn't you? And you soon got into the Irish community of Sheffield, really. So I remember one night on my birthday taking you and my sister, who we've not mentioned yet, Ellie, to the Dog and Partridge pub on Triplet Lane, and then you loved it so much you never left it, really, did you?
I used to come regularly over to see the grandchildren, ostensibly. But, yeah, you used to end up in the Dog and Parties at that time, didn't you?
With Anne Flynn.
And I just loved the atmosphere in the place, and it was all live singing. And so used to come most weekends.
Yeah.
Ellie, who now lives in Australia, she loved it too.
Yeah.
And so much so she settled in Sheffield for a short while.
Yeah, she did.
And she had her son, Spike, who we all loved to bits.
So he was born in Jessop's Hospital, Sheffield,
So we've got quite a lot of connections with Sheffield these days. And not least, you living here, Ben. And yeah. I'm working here, of course, with lovely Tracy.
Yes.
You met Tracy, and so it's got quite significance, hasn't it? I met quite a lot of singers there, Mick and
Jason.
Yeah.
Give him a mention, and he'll be listening.
Yeah. Hi, Jason. And it's a lovely community atmosphere in there, same people had come in, but and then you'd have guests, wouldn't you?
That's it, it's half and half, and you'd have regular people come in, but then you didn't know who would come in, is it?
No,
great. And it's still the same
and
now.
At the Grapes,
so we've had the landlord of the Dog and Partridge, he's been on the show,
of course.
But we got into Grapes a lot as well, and Fagin's as well. You've been in, and you're in that community, you've seen,
yeah. It's only just over them there Pennines anyway, isn't it?
It's not too far
to visit.
It's not too far. So we've just got about 10 minutes left. We're going to play at least one more song. I suppose what's life like these days for your mother?
Well, now that I've retired, I'm in walking group when I'm fit to do it, which I love. Going out into the countryside, meet a whole new bunch of people who go away with them on weekends or, you know, different holidays.
Yeah.
I also play ukulele, not very well, but I love doing it as well too.
So part of a group, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know, ukulele group and choir.
And in the choir, I love that as well. So most days I've got some hobby or other to do.
Yeah. So you're still doing lots of travelling and stuff, aren't you?
Yeah. I've been to Australia I don't know how many times to see Ellie and Andrew and Spike. And she always takes us to somewhere else, you know?
Yeah, she's gone around
when
the
place. We go, she always organises something else, you know?
Yeah, and you had an adventure in Vietnam last year.
Oh, we did, yes, Ben, yeah. Oh, that was great. That was off on a motorbike over the hills. You couldn't imagine it. It was like, wow. And,
why was you there? Tell.
Well, because the boys were there.
So my son's Jude and Reuben.
And they were teaching English. And so Ben and I went over and we went all over the place, didn't we? Cat bar and
yeah.
At first, I was like, really, I'm not going on the motorbike. I had no choice. I had to stay in the hotel or get on the bike, and which I did. And it was, I loved it. I loved the whole experience of it.
Yeah. So we've got we're going to play your next song now, which is the last Great Love song, Finbar Fury. And then we'll play that, and we will have time for a few minutes at the end to catch up on anything we've not said in there. Yeah. So go on, tell us why you're playing this.
Well, Finbar, I just love that music, and but this is kind of a memory for Angela, who we sadly lost.
So that's your sister.
She's the youngest girl.
Yeah.
About 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Well, it'll be 3 years this year. It's gone fast. Finbar.
Okay, let's play the Finbar, the last Great Love song for Angela and for you.
Welcome to my song. I didn't mean to scare you. I have to show it all. Don't say I didn't warn you. Sometimes lovers like that one that you have to climb or fall. This is the last great love song that I will ever sing to you. And this is the last great love song that I will ever bring to you. Don't run, I've come to call. Pray be silent when you hear it. Crush the dam, the coat. I'll need you to bear witness. Your laughter in the dark has left me cold and stark. Oh, yeah. This is the last great love song that I will ever sing. Have that exquisite room of a lover not in love. This is the last great love song that I will ever bring to you.
Beautiful. That's lovely, isn't it? The last great love song, Finbar Fury. So that was like, Finbar was getting on a bit when he did that, wasn't he? Mm-hmm. So he was obviously one of the stars of Irish music when for a long time in the 60s and 70s, wasn't it?
Mm.
We've not spoke about that, actually, what it was like growing up in Manchester in the 60s and 70s, because I think the thing we've not got across, Mother, is that we talked about you having split personalities. In that you were an outstanding teacher, and, you know, you'd be, you know, very serious in school. well, you know, the right kind of serious, yeah. making sure things were done right. But also, you'd like to play hard as well, wouldn't you? So you would, you'd be going to the Twisted Wheel and Manchester and. Yeah, what
pretending
was that like?
Pretending that I'd stayed at my friends and all that. That you know, each generation thinks they're the only ones that have made this up, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And having to be awake all Sunday was awful. Like, please let me get to bed.
Because you've been up all night dancing.
I've been all night at the Twisted Wheel.
in the 60s when, like, I mean, it was like, what kind of bands would you be listening to?
Long John Baldry came. Have you heard of him? It's just, you know, Beatles type groups.
Yeah.
But I can't really think of anyone famous offhand. But
no, because it was, I think later on, anyway, so it was that kind of swinging 60s yeah. Manchester, which was like, yeah. I know everyone says Liverpool, but Manchester would have had it going on as well, wouldn't they, at that time? And, well, the whole country would be, I mean, that's. I imagine you tell me. Is it like they made out?
I don't know how they make out.
The swinging 60s, everyone's here. No.
Oh, probably not.
Not for you. All right, whatever, brother.
No,
right.
I went to
good. That's the right thing to say. That's what I want to hear. I don't know if we've got time for another song. Let's see. Who's anyone we've not mentioned you want to talk about?
Yeah, I must mention Sam, my eldest,
your eldest grandchild,
yeah. He got married a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah, 16th of
I'm very
of
proud
January.
Of him. He works for Granada Reports and he is, you know, into journalism.
He's on the telly.
He's been on the telly a few times and he's done some, you know, great reports.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And he married Rebecca.
Himself.
Yeah.
He married Rebecca, the lovely Rebecca. And I hope they live happily ever after.
Yes.
It's like a fairy tale. No, so Jude's just gone back. Did I mention him before? Just
yeah, he's gone,
gone
today,
back
he's,
to Vietnam.
He's gone to Vietnam today.
He should be, he'll be flying back soon.
Yeah, he is.
Reuben, of course, he's my resident.
So he's moved in with it. He left Rotherham, growing up in Rotherham, as soon as he could. I don't understand it. And went to the bright lights of Manchester when he was 17. Stays at his grandma's house and, he's got a life of luxury, doesn't he, that lad?
Life of Riley, we can say.
I'd say there.
And then there's Spike, who was born.
Yeah, Spike, go on, it's born, we said that, and his dad, Andrew.
Oh, yeah, and Andrew,
yes.
Yeah.
So, I think we've got everyone in, haven't we?
I hope so.
If we've forgot anyone.
If I've missed you out, it's because I can't remember you.
Let's play a bit of... your last choice, Christy Moore, then. So we start with you. So why have you picked Christy?
Well, I mentioned before that I met him when he first came into the folk clubs in Manchester. And I've just always followed him since. I love his music. But this particular one, and so do I, it just reminds me of all the beautiful things that are around, you know. If you listen to the words, he loves it when the rain comes down and when everything about it.
Oh, it's great.
Quite joyful.
Lovely. Thank you so much for being my guest for my birthday. Thank you. It's been absolutely lovely. And it's there. So we're going to finish with a couple of minutes of So Do I by Christy Moore. Thank you.
You're welcome, Ben.
This is the day the fisherman likes. And so do I. When the rain puts a shine and the chestnut spikes, hear the curlews cry. The nightingale sings her best. We'll drink a pint in Hamilton's Rest. And the girl I love wore a muslin dress. The fishermen dream at the sun in the west. So do I. So do I. Now I can see, since the girl that I love dearly has cast her loving spell on me. This is the day the cuckoo likes, and so do I. When the hills fall down in different shapes, and the swallows fly,